back-to-back blowouts. Is that what's in store for UNLV football? Certainly looks like it could be the case after last Saturday. UNLV beats up on UTEP 52-24. Prairie View A&M coming in this weekend. Another game in which the Rebels should be favored big in with a chance to go to 2-1 on the year. UTEP certainly not the strongest opponent. Power rated as the last team in the nation pretty standardly. But that being said, UNLV took care of business. This is a program we said last week hasn't done that a lot. So got to be all positive coming out of the UTEP game. I'm Case Kiefer, joined by Ray Brewer and Mike Romala on Rebel Room. You guys are with me, right?
Well, I just love how you're like, well, they blew them out, but I mean, UTEP, worst rated team in the world.
I said the same thing about USC. I said you can't be negative coming out of the USC games. USC, there's a huge talent gap. UTEP is literally, how many games they lost in a row? 14? They're the worst power rated team in the nation. Prairie View A&M might be better than them.
Is UNLV closer to USC than UTEP is to UNLV?
Without question, yes.
So you answered your own question then.
I wish UNLV would play UTEP every game. Oh, then we'd be smelling the roses, you know what I'm saying?
Well, they got not quite UTEP, but another team that they should handle convincingly coming in this week, Prairie View A&M. That's a team that UNLV, UNLV had 400-plus yards rushing against UTEP. That was the high for the Tony Sanchez tenure. I don't know if they'll top that again against Prairie View, but it should be another game pretty, you know, relatively easy, 300, 350-plus rushing. UNLV should control that game on the ground. So it should be, you know, maybe not quite the 52-point blowout of that UTEP was, but it should be another easy win.
That's what I'm talking about.
And then all of a sudden you're 2-1, and then you're going into Arkansas State, and you get a little chance to do something now.
I think big picture is we've seen UNLV two games, and in case you're right, right? Game one was against USC team who, despite what happened against Stanford, was top 20, massive disparity in talent level, and against UTEP team that's pretty bad. Both games, though, UNLV is able to run the ball. Thomas is as good as we thought he'd be. Rogers is able to pick up yards on the ground. Baker's come in and done some things. No, I'm sorry.
Charles Williams? Yeah, he was good in
– I must have known a Charles Baker somewhere because I've called him Baker 1,000 times. But I think that UNLV has got a chance to run the ball as we expected against anybody. And that, when you consider running the ball as a good way to control the clock, could help them get to the 8 wins I predicted.
Yeah, I can't believe I got that right, actually. One thing I heard, UTEP, it is a 14-game losing streak. That was right. I did use standardly as a word, though, which is decidedly not a word. But, yeah, it looks like the story of this game was just the ground games, kind of from a UNLV perspective on both sides. Yeah, they racked up 414 yards, averaged nearly 7.5 yards a carry. But as Mike pointed out to me before we started this, UTEP was able to run the ball a lot, too. They hung with them in the first quarter by being able to run the ball and ended up with more than 7 yards per carry. Again, a 52-24 win. There's not much you could say bad about UNLV, but is that a little bit of a red flag that the Miners, who have lost 14 in a row, once again, they were able to pick up some yards on the ground against the Rebels?
It is. It is, just because it's the same thing we saw against USC. USC ran the ball with ease. They had 9 running plays that went for 12 yards or longer. So that was a worry coming into this game. UTEP came right out of the gate in the first quarter, ran right down the field on their first possession, all running plays, length of the field, touchdown. Second drive, they kicked a field goal, and again, all running plays. And it looked for a while like they were going to stay with the Rebels and make them work a little bit. And then for the game, ended up over 7 yards a carry. So that's still something where UNLV has to get better. We've seen them play two games now. The good thing about the defense is they've been a little more creative when it comes to defending, generating a pass rush and trying to confuse the offense and getting a little more aggressive on third down. So that's the good thing. The bad thing is we've seen them play two games and we haven't seen them play well against the run yet. So that's something that would probably be your number one key to watch in this game against Prairie View A&M. Can they be effective against the run? You probably don't have to completely shut down the run in order to win this game, but can you keep them under 5 yards a carry? I don't think that's too much to ask.
Yeah, Brewer is someone who's banging the 8 wins drum. Is that the biggest concern to you two? Is it the rush defense or is it something else as we, after this week, get into some tougher contests or at least some more closely contested contests?
Yeah, I just think that once UNLV, all roads lead to league play, right? Give me a nod.
Well,
the people can't hear.
Yes, the league play comes at the end of the schedule, so yes, all the games before it lead to that.
So I would say some roads lead to league play because they got to win two of these non-league games in order to have a chance at a bowl game. So like you do have to do something in the your non-conference schedule.
Well, they should. I just hate how this Howard game kind of, you know, is a dark point in every conversation because this game, for all intents and purposes, should be a dub, right? But it's like we can't give them a dub because we all saw what happened against Howard last year.
I don't think it's just Howard. I think we've all seen what's happened the last 30 years as well.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bad losses on there.
Did you read my column on Sunday?
I didn't. I just called it up this. It's on my computer, and I will read it.
Okay.
I was actually trying to see if you went to that. But before you got in here,
I was there.
I was going to see if you were at the game, and I saw you wrote a column.
I was a little late. I was at a youth soccer game, but I made it about 15 minutes in.
I saw some video of your daughter kicking the ball around, looking good.
Yeah, yeah. She actually got her first goal ever on Saturday. Another girl dribbled the ball all the way down, and then Gabby kind of boxed her out and knocked it in.
Future Rebels soccer star, Gabby Brewer. There we go.
And then she ran over and cried to her mother. So everything is good. But no, back to the, is it worrisome? Of course it is. The history of this defense, no matter who's the coach, it's not like they've ever had a great defense. They either A, can't stop the run, B, can't rush the pass, or C, can't defend the long pass. Many years, they can't do A, B, and C, right? D, all of the above. So this year, it looks like initially, A, they can't defend the rush. Well, now you try to overcompensate for that. Now, all of a sudden, you're not going to be able to do B or C. So fortunately, it's early in the season. They got a lot of young guys. Listen, those linebackers haven't been bad. Hester had a fumble recovery, right? It's just they're not consistent enough. They're giving up too many big plays. And if UTEP, who Case says has lost 14 games in a row and ranks as the worst team in the world, could get some yards
on. That's a fact, too.
That's
not
a fact.
Being
no. No, this is according to the internet and Case's research, UTEP sucks. And
not according to the internet.
What was this?
According to statistics.
I think here's
lost 14 games in a row.
What was the
UTEP apologist?
What was the Alabama score?
Against Arkansas State, I think 50-6.
50-6.
I think.
Did the Rebels have a chance in that game?
They probably have more of a chance than I thought coming into the season. But I wouldn't.
You want to give me a high five?
Yeah,
boy.
But I wouldn't use Alabama as some kind of barometer for which teams are good in college football, though, because Alabama will make a lot of teams look bad. Like if UNLV played Alabama, they probably would not look much better than Arkansas State. So
you don't think the Rebels could run the ball in Alabama?
No.
57-7 was the score. And I feel like you're taking just little shots at me this whole time. I never said UNLV didn't have a chance. I said no matter what happens early in the year, they will be more than a touchdown underdog. And I still promise you they're more than a touchdown underdog.
You can't find that
Arkansas
anywhere
State.
For in 2 weeks?
No, that's not going to be up yet. I could find projected. I'm sure it's going to be like 9.5.
Well, even after UNLV's, you know, the top-rated rush team in the nation?
They played a UTEP, and they got beat about what they should have against USC. Trust Arkansas State's not going to be downgraded for losing 57-7. This is Alabama.
UNLV's second nationally in rush yards per game.
Alabama. This is UNLV
it's
would lose by 50 to Alabama, too.
Alabama has secondary players. You could single cover any UNLV receiver that they put into a pattern, and you could put 8 or 9 guys at the line of scrimmage and just challenge Armani Rogers to beat you throwing the ball. Like they would they would stop the, they would close down all the running lanes.
I will say this, because to me it seems like all Ray Brewer roads lead to us saying something good about UNLV. That's what he's trying to get out of here. And I will say this, I think we gloss over, we just mentioned his name, I think he's a given, but I think we could sit here for an extra second and talk about how good Lexington Thomas is. The guy has had an unbelievable start to the year. As long as he's healthy, you do got to think that UNLV is going to be that good on the ground. I mean, I think I know going into the year, I think like favorite-wise, Juwan Washington was just a huge favorite to lead the Mountain West in yards. I got to think Lexington Thomas is right there now. I just, for some reason, it called up their rushing numbers. Washington has twice as many carries as him this year and has 314 yards. Lexington has 263. So if you are just begging to get us to say something good about UNLV, I will say that Lexington Thomas has been just electric and probably even better than expected early in the year.
And as crazy as this is going to sound, I think Charles Williams is better.
I can't agree with that. Lexington Thomas, I think, has proven himself to be the big play guy, the short yardage guy. He was unbelievable on short yardage plays last year when he was sort of forced to take most of those carries. We've seen him be the number one guy for a full season, and he came through in a big way last year. We've seen him play well against Ohio State. We've seen him score on a long run and play well against USC. Like, if you're doing that hypothetical UNLV-Alabama matchup, Lexington Thomas is one of maybe two or three guys who would belong on that field or wouldn't look out of place playing against a team like Alabama. And at the skill positions, I mean, he's one of the guys that wouldn't look out of place. So Lexington Thomas, I think, their offensive playmaker. Like, he is the ace in the hole that they have. He just so consistently hits big plays. Like, he's a running back who you can pretty much count on to score a 50-plus touchdown every week, which is kind of crazy to think about. But in terms of leading the Mountain West in rushing or the raw totals, it's just, unless we see, like, injuries at the running back position like we did last year when Charles Williams went out for the season in the first half of the first game, Lexington Thomas is just not going to get the carries to put up those big numbers. We saw Charles Williams, 12 carries against UTEP. I think Owens got 10 carries, or Armani Rogers got 10 carries. They just chip away. He doesn't have games where he gets 20, 25 carries. He's more in like the 12 to 16 range, and that's where they want to keep him. So raw totals are not going to be there, but yards per carry, everything else, he's great. He's about as good as you can ask for.
The yak.
I love Charles Williams, too. I'm with Mike, but I just remember even 2 years ago, I was so impressed by him, and I think he's a big thing to have. Do you really want me to answer your questions? I just looked it up.
Go ahead. You've
11-point favorite Arkansas State right now.
Who's making these lines?
You are so delusional.
I'm not.
They lose a game to Alabama, and all of a sudden they're on UTEP level.
No. I'm just saying that UNLV has got... Grimala just went off for a minute on how Lexington Thomas is going to be in New York City for the Heisman presentation.
If Lexington Thomas got 400 carries this year, he might find himself in New York for the Heisman finalists. That Arkansas State game is the most interesting. I don't know if 11 points, like, that's I would not be completely shocked if UNLV went in there. It would be an upset, I think, if they won. I don't think they're completely overmatched. That's a game that I think they can win. They can probably run the ball against Arkansas State. That's a game where you're going to have to play well. You're going to have to make plays. You're going to have to score a couple long touchdowns probably, and you're going to have to force a couple turnovers somewhere. Can they do that? Yeah. Would I expect it 9 times out of 10? No. Maybe like 3 times out of 10.
Here's the deal. Along the way, we agree to a man, Case, that UNLV's improved.
Absolutely.
Is this the best UNLV team since – I might ask you that last week. Did I ask you that last week?
I think we talked about coming into the season as just the highest expectations since I've been here, and I said second.
Eventually, they got to graduate and win one of these games where they're 11-point dogs on the road, where the odds makers are saying, okay, this is a UNLV team that is away from Sam Boyd, hasn't always been the best road team – middle of the pack, the bottom of the pack, Mountain West, going into an Arkansas State team that returns a lot. Okay, they're 11-point dogs, I get it. But eventually, they got to graduate and win a game like this.
Well, they have done that. If you go back to last year, they went to Fresno, where I believe, I'm not positive, but I think they were 14-point underdogs.
I was thinking they were 17.
and they won that game. But the thing about that game is that was Johnny Stanton at quarterback. So Armani Rogers maybe has to show you that he can do that. But UNLV did win a game like that last year, and that was a shocker. I don't think it would be it would not be an amazing upset if they win at Arkansas State. It would be a good win that not a lot of people probably will pick them to win outright, but I don't think they're overmatched. I think they can go in expecting – if you're a UNLV fan, you can go in expecting a competitive game and, hey, we've got a chance here. So I'm not saying that game is out of reach by any means. I'm just saying I don't think they're favorites. I don't think you can hold that Alabama loss against Arkansas State. UNLV is going to have to go in and play really well to win that game.
Yeah, I mean, even I am not saying they're overmatched. I want to get this clear. Arkansas State is just, right now, a much better program than UNLV. And I know Brewer's going to shake in his seat right now, but they've won some conference championships recently. They're pretty established. Justin Hansen, their quarterback, has been there for, it might be Justice Hansen, but he's been there for the last 3 years. He put up like 500 yards in week one against Southeast Missouri, who's better than UTEP, probably. No offense, they would be a favorite. I'm not saying UNLV doesn't have a chance, though, an 11-point dog. 11-point dogs win every week. I'm just saying if the Ray Brewer Sportsbook right now has Arkansas State -6.5 or something, put me down for a limit bet, whatever you will take, because you're going to get value on that. So welcome to the Red Wolves room, because we love talking about Arkansas State here. I can't wait to see what they do at Tulsa this weekend.
Totally off topic, but you guys know that I go to Ross every now and then, right?
Your favorite store, right?
Mm-hmm. I have an Arkansas State long sleeve shirt.
Oh, you haven't been able to wear it this year, right?
No, I mean, it's, you know how I like to sleep in the long sleeve shirt, so it's at the house. But anyways, thought I'd tell you that. Hey, let's shift gears real fast, if that's okay. Mm-hmm. Basketball picked up a player yesterday, a point guard from New Jersey, 3-star kid. Gramala, download us.
Well, he's a 6'2" guard. I see him listed as a point guard. I see him listed as a shooting guard. Probably tells you somewhere in that combo guard position. Guy can score. What you see on the internet from the highlight videos, the first thing is he's an athlete. He plays above the rim. For a 6'2" guy, he attacks the rim. He goes up high. He dunks everything. In terms of I haven't seen a lot of him in like actual game situations. So in terms of skills, like can he run an offense? I have no idea. Can he shoot the ball? I have no idea. Can he play man-to-man defense? I have no idea. I know that the coaching staff likes him. They like his athleticism. He's probably a 4-year guy that they think they can turn into a pretty good Mountain West player. I think the interesting thing is he is the second guy they have now committed for the class of 2019. And they've only got 2 seniors on this year's team. So you've got 2 scholarships opening up with the seniors graduating. You've already got 2 guys committed, which tells me that there's going to be some more, or they're anticipating more roster moves throughout the season, whether it's transfers or players just leaving the program, because they still want Jalen Hill, they still want Josh Green, they still want all these other guys from 2019. So where are the scholarships going to come from for those guys?
I agree. That's a good point. Well, you got to figure that somebody would be going to the league, right?
Like who?
Hardy thinks he's going to the league. He does. He thinks he's going to the league.
Everyone thinks they're going to the league, but I don't know if they think they're going to the league after this season. Like Hardy scored, I think it was like 6.7 points per game last year or something like that. I don't have it right in front of me. I don't think Hardy believes that he's going to be an NBA pick after this season. Maybe he does. I don't know. I just think, yeah, but those scholarships are going to have to come from somewhere. And they usually do. Every team has turnover that year that's not on schedule besides seniors. Every team has transfers. Every team has NBA guys. Stuff like that happens. And it's not going to be a big deal if Georgi Slavonchin transfers in the offseason or something like that. But it's just, you know, something to watch as they keep recruiting the 2019
class. We've been waiting
class.
For that transfer since the day he got here.
Yeah. Yeah, they a couple of Georgi Slavonchin and Ben Coupet, who were part of that first recruiting class for Menzies.
Just literally was like, I got to go find 12 guys that could fit into these uniforms because we have a game to play in 2 days.
So they had to take some guys that they may have otherwise may have not taken, and they've been recruited over multiple times already. Like they've got four centers probably that will play ahead of Georgi Slavonchin, and they've probably got a handful of wings that will play ahead of Ben Coupet. So yeah, those guys are kind of buried, but I don't know where Menzies stands on forcing guys to leave their or revoking guys' scholarships just to recruit over them. You know, that's something college coaches do. It's kind of one of the it's not dirty, but it's kind of one of the, you know, it's not something that the NCAA wants to publicize, that, you know, hey, if they get a better player, we can yank your scholarship and then you're just, you know, left hanging. So I don't know if Menzies wants to do that, but they'd want to keep recruiting 2019, so they got to find a scholarship somewhere.
So the point guard of this year's team is Noah Robotham.
Probably.
The point guard next year is?
You've got Amari Hardy, Ethan Anderson, and Josh Pierre-Louis. I don't know whoever plays the best out of that group. Like, a lot of those guys are not
even on
campus yet.
So the kid they brought in from L.A.,
Ethan Anderson.
No, the other kid from L.A.
Bryce Hamilton.
He plays...
He's a shooting guard.
Okay. And then Woodbury is a...
Shooting guard.
Okay, so they won't play together. Well, I mean, they could. Well,
modern parlance, you call them wings. They're just wings. They play out on the perimeter.
Right.
But they're not
the point
guard.
I'm more than a number guy, Grimala. I want to know who's playing the five, the four, the three.
Well, it's the game is changing so much. Like, can Shakur Justin play the five? That's my biggest question of the offseason. Can Shakur Justin play at center? Menzies is a guy who likes traditional big centers. He likes seven-footers down there. Justin's more like 6'8". He rebounds like a center, but does he defend like a center? I don't know. Is Menzies comfortable playing a small lineup? I don't know. Is he comfortable playing three wings instead of a traditional four and five? I don't know. Like, that's all stuff we have to find out. Like, it's not that simple anymore.
Yeah, this is funny because Brewer and I wouldn't say an argument, but we had like kind of a clash in philosophy. We usually coach this, not last year, but before we coached this game with local All-Stars versus Findlay Prep to start the season. We always get beat very badly. But the final year, I was like, Brewer, we got to start these guys. And he's like, well, we don't have a four or a five. We don't have a big man. I'm like, Brewer, it's positionless basketball. We're not in 1995 here. And we were going to lose either way. But just interesting to see this. It's been a couple years. But you guys basically just had the same conversation we had when we were trying to make our lineups for that Findlay Prep game.
The goal is kind of to... when it's time to win the game, you want to be able to put your five best players on the floor. And through recruiting and practice and, you know, just in coaching, you want your roster to be balanced in such a way that those five best players can also sort of fill the five positions that you need on the floor, whether it's a point guard, three wings, and a big man, or a point guard and four wings, or four wings and a power forward, which Nevada played last year, so they played without a point guard.
There's swearing on the podcast, Kiefer. What the hell's wrong with you?
Nevada.
Jeez.
I thought that was a print-only.
Print-only? It's a mindset, Kamala. When you got your HR packet when you started, did you not read that?
Well, that's you may not like the name, but the way that they play positionless basketball is something that UNLV is going to have to reckon with at some point. The UNLV played a true four and a true five last year, and they couldn't defend anyone when other teams went small. So that's something they are going to have to address in the future. We're seeing them bring in a lot of guards and a lot of perimeter players in these last two recruiting classes. How it all works out, we'll have to wait until this season and then into next season before we really know what Menzies has in store for those guys.
Yeah, I'm really glad I was just letting you guys go off on a basketball, because I was talking to another sports media member the other day, and they're like, what's going on with UNLV basketball? No one's talking about them. Well, what's the updates? So I was like, well, go to LasVegasSun.com. Grimala's written about all the everyone coming in. I think we've got a lot of good coverage on it, but I think it does speak highly of where football is right now, that it seems like even by now, on September 10th, usually the page is flipped by now. People are looking ahead to basketball. I still think there's some optimism on what football can do. And I think going forward, if UNLV wants to be that big-time athletic department, I think football is going to need to drive the ship, and maybe this is a step in that direction.
Yeah, just 14,000 people at the game yesterday or Saturday. And I'm thinking, boy, if this new stadium comes, you got to get a few more thousand there, right?
Yeah, I was talking more discussion, not attend. I mean, I know attendance is a struggle, but this is the thing you've always even said about Vegas, and I think a lot of places in general. I don't think this is Vegas exclusive, but if they start winning these games, I think that could kind of solve it itself, especially if you have some momentum going into a new stadium.
I do think just based on firsthand experience and just, you know, word of mouth and just Not anything statistically in terms of attendance or anything like that, but it just feels like more people are interested in football this year than in the past 5 years, which is how long I've been in the market. It's I think, you know, the UNLV went to a bowl game in 2013, but that season I feel like it kind of caught people by surprise that they were even in bowl contention that year as they came down the stretch. This year you could sort of feel it building from 2 years out, and then into last year you could sort of feel them building towards it. Expectations were more raised going into the year, and they through two games they look like a bowl team. They look like a pretty good team. And when we sit here and nitpick, you know, the rush defense or Armani Rogers' completion percentage, it's not because the team is bad. It's because the team is better than expected, and these are like the weak spots that you're sort of trying to shore up as the season goes along. So I think people are more interested in football this year than I have seen in years past, and I think that is a credit to the program. And it hasn't translated to attendance through, you know, one home game so far this season. But maybe if they win – you know, if they win the next game against Prairie View and they're 2-1, maybe if they still win at Arkansas State and they're 3-1, coming back for that next game against UNM.
The home opener. And maybe when it's not a buck 10 outside.
Yeah, that could help too. Yeah, that's what I was getting at. It just seems like there is a little bit more juice, I guess, behind the program right now. And this is I think it's kind of a testament to Tony Sanchez too. I mean, he had a long-term vision for this program and not just on the field. I think it was, you know, building up into a year like this. And I'm not ready to just write off the attendance is going to be terrible all year. I mean, I would expect that UNR attendance to be very strong. If that's the game you need to win to go to a bowl game, which I still think is the most likely scenario
totally
for the year.
We'll already have our bags packed for Hawaii at kickoff. Go ahead.
Well, I think, honestly, taking emotion and fandom out of it, that's the most likely scenario that you're going to need to win that game to go to a bowl, or at least win that game for a winning record. Maybe they're 6-5 going into it. I think anything above that's ridiculous, but I think that scenario, that game should draw pretty well.
Thanksgiving weekend, I don't disagree.
Yeah, so we're building up to it. UNLV, Prairie View A&M this Saturday should be another big win from UNLV. We'll be back next week, Well, maybe we'll be back next week. It'll be a Wednesday if we're back on the Rebel Room. For Mike and Ray, I'm Case. Thanks for listening to the Rebel Room.